No, you don't understand?
No.
Okay. First I said, Christ is risen. I always tell my kids that hearing people trying to understand signing is a lot like when deaf people are trying to understand speech. Was it hard? I'm kind of in between two worlds right now because I am not a proficient signer. I am learning, and I'm not surrounded by proficient signers either. But also, I cannot hear very much. Just this last week, I saw my audiologist, and she told me that my hearing is declining fast. In maybe 2 years, I might not hear very much at all. And we use sign language a lot at home because it's just easier than asking people to constantly repeat themselves. That gets very frustrating really fast. Hearing aids don't give me back my normal hearing, and I'm not deaf yet, but my audiologist also told me that in the past 2 years, my hearing loss has doubled. So I think she thought that I was gonna be upset, but actually I had to say, that's actually really validating because it was either that or everyone around me has suddenly developed speech pathologies. You guys are all low talkers. But it's upsetting. I didn't really expect to be going deaf in my 40s. And it's confusing because it kind of rewrites my reality. Like, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of, you know, your brain tells you that that water is definitely not on because we would hear that if that was on. And then you turn around and it's on. It's my constant experience. Apparently this is very common among people with hearing loss, is to walk away from the water and leave it on. My family turns it off for me. It's really nice of them. But I also feel guilty because I make people around me work hard to communicate with me, right? My family is having to learn sign. That's hard. They're learning another language in order to ease our communication. And I also feel guilty because I wonder if I did something to make this happen. My doctor doesn't know why it's happening. Hearing loss, idiopathic hearing loss is actually really common. But, you know, maybe I listened to my music too loud when I was growing up. I don't know, maybe. And it's exhausting because my brain is always trying to piece together incomplete data in order to understand what people are saying, and it just wears me out a little bit. Now, I'm talking about my hearing loss because today we read a story of loss. Now, we think of it as a story of the resurrection, right? Because the resurrection has always already happened for us. And it's Pascha, so the resurrection right here in our face. We cannot forget that it happened. But I tend to speed right past the fact that these women are going to the tomb. They don't know that the resurrection has happened. They're going to anoint his body. They don't know he's not dead. You don't go to the tomb with myrrh thinking that, why are you signing at me? Are you signing something at me? Oh, I need to project. I also, another side effect of hearing loss is you have no idea how loud you're talking. Sorry, thanks for that. They don't know that he is risen. They don't know that he's not dead. And so they have brought myrrh. And you don't bring myrrh when you think that there's not going to be a body. But I'm talking about my hearing loss because I don't want us to read this story only as a story of personal loss, of bereavement, of losing an actual person, right? The church is really good at making that connection for us. We know that Jesus' resurrection is ultimately about our resurrection. Hearing loss is a pretty big loss. I think it's common in our culture to act like it's not, right? We expect to lose it maybe a little bit as we get older. But it's affecting my family in pretty profound ways. And it's not death, though. I didn't die. But I want to say this about that I have a lot of experience with various kinds of losses. And while they may vary degrees different, in quality, they have a lot in common, right? You feel frustrated, you feel confused, you feel anxious. And we wonder if it's ever going to get better. There's a beautiful hymn of the church about this precise gospel passage. Behold, it is still dark, very early in the morning. Why do you stand at the tomb with great darkness covering your mind, O Mary? And I feel like that's loss in a nutshell. Great darkness covers our minds. Maybe you have something happening in your life right now that feels like a great darkness. That's what I'm talking about, because I don't think God dismisses any darkness as being too small for him to concern himself with. This story is about those losses, too. All our lives, we get small deaths and resurrections, like we get practice. And they don't feel small at the time. The women saw him die. In the face of this enormous loss, if they can even remember Jesus' words about the resurrection, they probably don't make a lot of sense right now. They're doing whatever next right thing they know how to do, anointing the body, probably with very little thought for what comes next. They ask, who'll roll away the stone for us? But they go anyway. Sometimes when we have a really big loss, we just go down really hard. It can be ugly. I have little meltdowns on the regular because of my hearing. It makes me feel exhausted and vulnerable and totally not in control of my life. And I love that that's all right here in this story. The disciples are having an ugly time. They're cowering in the upper room. Jesus' death has shown them up as human, as afraid, and even as a little bit cowardly. Like, they're letting the women go do this alone? And the women ask, who's going to roll away the stone for us? And they don't just jump right in. Like, where are they? Because sometimes the people you count on to show up for you, they don't. Are they looking for God to roll away the stone? Is that what we're looking for? Just like us in whatever current darkness that we're going through, they didn't get to know that ahead of time. Sometimes I think we also chide ourselves a lot for not having more faith when we lose. Maybe we think we're grieving too long for someone who's died. We think if we really had faith, it wouldn't impact us in the same way. If I had faith, I wouldn't worry that deafness was going to ruin my entire life. But the murderers and the disciples at this point in this story, I'm not sure that what they're doing is what we expect from faith. I would think if someone had faith, it'd be these people who were with Jesus throughout his entire ministry, but you don't have to read very much of the gospel to know that that's not true. Maybe we're a little too hard on ourselves. So here we are, deep in the lowest low of the gospel story arc. But I want to emphasize it is important not to just speed right past this to the resurrection. There's a meme going around the internet right now. I don't know if you've seen it. And it says, Jesus died for your sins, except he didn't actually stay dead. So what did he sacrifice? His weekend? Jesus gave up his weekend for your sins. It's funny for a minute, right? But only because it highlights how shallow we've become about this story. We take the resurrection for granted. The darkness, the confusion, they're central. The true experience of loss is central, but we rarely want to spend any time here. It's hard to remember when we're in the pits of everyday life, when we're deep in a period of loss or darkness of any kind, that it doesn't pay to just speed through it so we can get to the part where it's happily ever after. We can't cheat, we can't jump to the resurrection, and we cringe when someone at a funeral says, she's in a better place, as if that makes it all right. I'm sympathetic. That kind of positivity just wants us to be better. We want to be better. I am very tempted to say, it's just a little hearing loss. Lots of people lose their hearing. Modern technology is great. Hearing aids, cochlear implants. But the price of joy is sometimes going through the darkness that comes before it. I don't think I could really experience Pascha until I had had some wrenching losses in my life. The gospel doesn't jump to the resurrection, and even when it gets to the resurrection, there is no pretended happily ever after. Jesus has wounds, even in his resurrected body. God didn't undo the pain and loss that came before. He just turned them into something new and beautiful, something more. Sometimes it's really hard, though, when the darkness is covering your mind, to understand what a resurrection could even look like. We just have to wait for it, and there's not even anything we can necessarily do beyond waiting. We can bring our myrrh, which sometimes feels a little like futility. At this point, I'm still trying to find my way through the darkness of my hearing loss. I'm still wondering who's going to roll away the stone from the tomb. I'm bringing my myrrh. I see my audiologist. I'm learning sign with my family. I use my hearing aids, and I'm trying to be assertive about what I need. But a lot of days, I am putting one foot in front of the other. I am just doing the next right thing. But we get such a gift from this section of the gospel in which the writer didn't spare the details of the experience in favor of a happy ever after. We get it all. The confusion, the cowardice, the fear, the truly not even looking for an empty tomb. Life is messy like that. The only way out is through. While going through, I'm not even sure sometimes that there is going to be an out. Maybe it won't ever get better. But in the end, there is the resurrection where God doesn't necessarily fix it. He turns it into something new and beautiful. They weren't looking for it. They didn't necessarily have any more faith than we often do. But it came. The resurrection came.